This is Vern Casper. Party Line was put on the air to give voice to problem solving in our community.
Talking local on WILO.
The Party Line Crew.
This is Party Line on WILO, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. Now let's join Party Line on WILO.
All right, it's the Party Line, brought to you by BoonCountyDailyNews.com, the local news service for Lebanon and Boone County. TC Trailers, if you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Marshan's Window Tinting in Antioch, we stick it where the sun shines. Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Also, Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Brett Capps, your Edward Jones advisor in Frankfort. Big deals, save money now on 24/7 at WeLoveBigDeals.com. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Welty Customer Custom Exteriors. Welty works for you. Vierks Fine Jewelry in Lafayette and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper. The telecast online at HoosierLandTV.com, brought to you by Albiques and Flora, Day and Genda Funeral Homes, BCS in Michigantown, 51 West Event Center, Pro Bike Computers, Ye Old Spirit Shop, Wilson Farm Market, The Farmer's Bank, and Ellis Jewelers on WILO. We are in the studio for Party Line. Melissa Miller in here with me. Morning.
Good morning.
So Perry Como would have had a birthday today.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's that kind of gives me the warm fuzzies. It's like saying Anne Murray has a birthday, or Olivia Newton-John would have had a birthday. Yeah.
It's cool. I know Tony Bennett's mind is not very good right now, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. of the Alzheimer's and everything. But I find it refreshing that his wife is actually keeping his Twitter feed going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really all positive stuff. It's really cool. And I kind of enjoy following it. But I enjoyed following it back when he was doing it himself. And it was pretty cool. So
there was, thinking of that, there was a friend of mine who passed on about 4 years yesterday by the name of Kimberly Kenny. She was a friend of mine that lived in New York. Facebook pal. We never had the chance to really... We never really had the chance to connect because we were Facebook pals. So my wife and I were flying into New York City, and we were supposed to meet for lunch. And Kimberly had been wrestling with cancer in earlier mm-hmm. points, and she, I think, went into a relapse a few days before, you know, and said, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to meet you this time, which God bless her for being an optimist. But it was one of those things where I say this because her Facebook feed is still up.
Yeah.
And so it's a thing where you can still go, and nobody's posting anything original, but people are tagging her and things like that. And it's kind of nice to go back and read these old posts and go, you know, God, right. I miss this person.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of glad to hear they're doing that for Tony Bennett.
Yeah, it is really neat. And I mean, you see all everybody else's, like, their estates or whatever, and they're putting, like, Prince.
Yeah.
You know, they're
or
getting
Tom Petty or whoever.
Yeah, exactly. And they were just talking about last week the festival that's coming up for Prince and
renaming the highway and
renaming the highway. They're going to drop two new songs out of his vault because
mm-hmm.
he has a vault that they said has enough music for at least a decade.
I've heard a century,
yeah.
which does not surprise me.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because when they've done these deluxe reissues of like Purple Rain or Sign of the Times or 1999, these things are going to like 9 and 10 and 12 vinyl albums worth of stuff.
Right.
And a lot of it's stuff that has never come out before, not just concerts or something. So you've got to wonder.
Well, now that they finally got his estate settled.
Supposedly.
Supposedly, yeah. And everybody's in agreement and all that stuff. That's what they're talking about. That's the reason why they're releasing new music.
Mm-hmm.
At this festival, there's going to be two new songs drop,
mm-hmm.
possibly an album down the road. So it's going to be, you want to say it's old music, but yet it's not old music because nobody's ever heard it.
Right.
So it's technically it's new music.
Yeah.
So, and probably timeless, just like all his other stuff.
And what's scary is also with people at that level of creativity, sometimes they'll pull together these albums that are very thematically interconnected. And it's not always the best material. I mean, sometimes mm-hmm. it's like you'll find that one song where you're like, well, this is a gem in the rough. Why didn't he do some? And I think part of it is honestly preparing for his end. I mean, it's the, like he probably even way back at the beginning, like, I've got a legacy I got to build.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I think so. And some of it too, at that point in time, it wasn't right. The music just didn't fit.
Yeah.
For the, you know, timing of
you're too
the
far
year.
Ahead of the time
yeah,
or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. It wouldn't, he knew it would not be received well.
Right.
So he shelved it. And maybe thought he would pull it out himself, you know, at some point in time,
mm-hmm.
like some artists do. I mean, mm-hmm. even today's artists do that. Look at Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I mean, redoing all her, of course, she's redoing right. all her music because she wants to own it, and who can blame her?
Well, she wants
she
to
wrote it. She wants to own it.
She wants to redo all the music, but it's interesting to me that she doesn't like if the albums had 14 songs. She's just not doing those 14 songs.
She's dropping
doing
some.
Every B-side, every demo, everything they theoretically had, she has reconstructed. So these albums go from 14 songs to like three dozen.
Yeah. Yeah. And she that way she owns all her music.
Plus the okay, like in the say 80s, 90s, when you would have these bands like Styx or Blue Oyster Cult, and then they would sign to a label like Sanctuary, and then they'd go back and they would redo their catalog, which incidentally, Don't Fear the Reaper without the cowbell.
Yeah.
Don't bother. I've heard it. Don't bother.
Bother, yeah.
But the idea that in Taylor's case, she went back quite often with the same producers, the same musicians, and did a from the ground, brick by brick rebuild to where it's almost not even, you almost can't even differentiate it other than the fact that sonically it's a little cleaner and also her vocals have matured by a factor of X amount of years. And so, but she's still hitting the same intonation. She's still landing where she should be, but it's the, if you hear.
And, but also some of those songs are the extended versions, so she's like added a verse.
Yeah.
You know, she's done the full song. It's not the cut down what the producers wanted to put out.
You know, good for her.
Yeah. And the funny part is Kelly Clarkson's the one that gave her the idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Kelly said she, at one point in time, Kelly said she didn't really desire to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now she's rethinking that, and I'll be really surprised if she doesn't do the same thing.
Yeah.
And a lot more artists now, since that's all come to fruition, a lot more artists are fighting to own their own music.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the fact that Taylor had an interest in buying her masters, and then she just got shunted out of the deal, I mean, good for her for getting revenge. And in the most, like, if you had a choice as a Taylor Swift newbie, would you go out and pay premium price for a 14-song or a 12-song album, or would you shell out a couple of extra bucks to go to Walmart and get the vinyl of
with,
the new version
with, 36.
With everything?
Yeah.
I know where I fall.
I would fall with everything, and the other side of it, too, is just knowing the story, even if I was just new to her music, but just hearing why she's doing it, it's like no-brainer.
And when you hear re-recordings, I grant you there's a tendency to go, but in Taylor's case, it is literally taking control of the means of production and the fact that
all of it.
And the fact that she was charting these reissues, which again are these reissues, recreations, which never happens.
Yeah.
Ever. And, you know, so she charts those, and then it also subsequently kills the sales of the original album so dramatically because her fan base is so rabid that they'll follow her right to the gates of heck.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Looking forward to, incidentally, because we were talking about Taylor Swift. I know.
I
she's an artist that I respect a lot more.
Right.
I don't actively listen to a lot of her stuff, but I get why she's got a fan base.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's been doing this Eras tour, been doing these concerts, and speaking of concerts, segue, Cindy Loveless is going to be on location this Saturday at Prairie Creek Park. Their summer concert series will debut this Saturday. There's going to be a 6:30 show with Big 80s and 8:30 performance from X Generation. Cindy's going to be out there for about a couple of hours before the first show. Come out, say hi. She'll kiss your baby, or shake your hand, or she'll kiss your hand and shake your baby. Probably not.
No.
But come out and say hi to her. And if you can't make it out there during the remote, listen here, because we'll get you taken care of. But we are looking forward to that. And a big thank you to the city of Frankfort for helping sponsor our broadcast here on WILO.
I'm looking forward to the Prairie Creek Park concert series. It's going to be great.
Are you going to be able to make it out on Saturday? Or?
I'm going to try to. I don't know. We're still, family is still in the fields trying to get stuff planted. So if get that all wrapped up, then yeah, I'll probably try and get out there. It'd be nice.
Who is our, to get back into show mode here, who's our guest today?
We will have someone from the Frankfort Police Department. I would assume Scott Shoemaker, but sometimes he sends some of his first
minions.
First, Well, I don't want to say minions.
I know.
Mean, he sends
before you pull me over, it was a joke.
You know, his assistant chief will come in, you know, but most of the time it's Scott. So
yeah.
We'll see. Chief Shoemaker will be in, or someone from his office will be in today at 9. So
hopefully not trying to call in.
Yeah.
We're still wrestling with that bugaboo. Which not to be like, oh, Todd's going to tell everything he knows here, but there have been a couple of behind the scenes tech issues that have complicated our ability to take phone calls.
Yeah, we have been fighting these for a while. Thought it was fixed, and it's not, and we couldn't figure out why. We couldn't figure out why it wasn't working yesterday. You know, it seemed awfully quiet. We couldn't figure out why, but now it's affected the phone lines for the whole stinking station, and not just the on air phones. It's affected everything. So
if you
apologize if you try to call the station for any purpose whatsoever,
and you're getting the answering service or the busy signal or something.
Yeah,
it's not our fault.
No,
promise.
We're trying, and. Yeah.
It's not Todd opened the board and fiddled around with a screwdriver. It's literally we had the experts come in and they actually unfixed it, made it worse. So that's why we're
trying.
So now
we're trying to get them back in to fix it.
So Frankfort Police Department, Scott Shoemaker and Company.
Yeah.
Please don't call. You should probably come in here.
Yeah, if at all possible, please come in.
So International Museum Day today as well.
Cool.
Were you very much a museum goer? Do you like to take
when I got the chance, but I love the Idle George in Indianapolis. It's fantastic. I love the Museum of Science up at Chicago.
Yes.
That's an amazing place.
When was the last time you were there? The Museum of Chicago.
Oh,
one,
Lord.
The Science and Industry.
That's probably been at least 15 years ago.
So then I think you were there around the same time I was when they had the exhibit. About vertical, for lack of better description, vertical underground farming, where you have...
No, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, so it's like, you have like almost like these multiple stories, almost like you're going down in a mine, and then you get off here, and it's like, okay, we're growing carrots underground, we're growing tomatoes underground, and we're doing hydroponics and everything. And I've seen this, I'm thinking this actually makes a really specific sense. The logic is that because Earth is getting very heavily populated, it's like, okay, well, where else can you go? It's space or underground. And if you go underground, then you can put more people on the surface, but you can do your harvesting and everything underground.
The only thing you got to worry about, though, is how much are you messing with the integrity of the underground to where it's going to collapse. I mean, we already have problems with the fault system now, you know?
Is it wrong?
But I can see... To me, that would be a great way to maybe repurpose old mines.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I mean,
that
I've seen those repurposed as like recording studio vaults because you can keep a lock on the humidity and stuff. But see, when you started to say that, the reason I smiled was because my brain went, "Have you seen my wife, Mr. Jones?"
Yep.
For those of you who don't know, Bee Gees, New York Mining Disaster, 1941, their first single. Go look it up. You think I'm kidding.
No.
you don't think
I
I'm
don't
kidding.
Think
you know.
No, I know.
But I know the average person who knows the Staying Alive Bee Gees may not necessarily know that...
the early stuff.
They were a little twee.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like, if you were a twee, what kind of twee would you be, twee? I mean...
yeah.
I mean Donovan wearing a blazer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So you like the Otto Jorg. I've done my fair share of museum stuff. I've always liked the IMA.
Yeah.
I really wish that they had not taken out some of the exhibits. Because, you know, they'll rest exhibits and bring them back. And some of the things that were in the modern galleries, I can't find anymore. And that used to be the whole reason I'd go to go see some of the interactive stuff.
Yeah,
there's a video display. It's like... multiple televisions and some DVD thing that's involved with it, or Laserdisc thing. And David Letterman had bankrolled it. And it's, I can't remember the artist's name, but it's like this digital, like, to be honest, it could trigger an epileptic event if you were wired for it, because there's a lot of flashing lights and they're coming fast. But the fact that Letterman bankrolled this thing for the IMA, and I think last time I was there they didn't have it up, and I'm like, going that, but that's kind of a cool, that's one of the reasons I go.
I mean, and you're also talking, you know, Letterman as an Indiana boy, you know, growing up here and going to college here and then coming back and doing something like that, and he's still, you know, he's a race car owner.
Mm-hmm.
you know,
with
the whole
team Ray Hall, I think, if I remember right, Ray Hall Letterman. But yeah, the whole idea of Letterman supporting that, and not even just on a communications level, but just, I mean, that's just good civic duty.
It is. It is. It's really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, and a way to give back to the community.
Yeah.
Which is cool, but I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff's changed, you know, even going down to the Children's Museum.
Mm-hmm.
I love taking the kids. I love taking the grandkids. I can't wait till Puddin's enough to take.
It's fun seeing it as an adult, especially because although the exhibits are geared historically on a child appreciation level, a child could understand it.
Right.
When you go and you see like those miniature houses, mm-hmm. or you see the collection of antiques, it's like you see like a Dolly Parton album out of its cover in a display case.
Yeah.
And you think to yourself, that's not an antique. I had one of those when I was a kid. And then you go, ooh.
Yeah. Exactly. But I think just the going with and taking kids.
Yeah.
And seeing it through their eyes.
Yeah.
And then that makes you cool because you understand and you know what the exhibit is and you can talk about it and you know, even beyond what they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes you cool in their eyes.
Yeah.
And like that you know about that stuff.
And like that Dale Chihuly thing. Because I used to live in Columbus and they used to have a Chihuly, or still do actually, in the visitor center in Columbus. And then you see that same idea rendered in the Children's Museum, where they have the thing that goes through like what, two stories,
right.
And that down here you can construct your own version of a Chihuly, and then up here you can actually see it, and that and it's such a distinctive. If you haven't seen Dale Chihuly, it's I think it's Chihouly. Look up his stuff because it's glass work, but if you've never seen his stuff, it's not your obvious gazing balls type stuff. It's very specific, like when you see somebody working in that style,
and very intricate.
Yeah, and the idea that you can teach a kid to the idea of, you know, you can, it's almost like Legos. You can put these things together without burning your hands 2,000 degrees or whatever it is to do glass.
Exactly.
But
it is neat. I mean, it's cool. And the water clock. I love the water clock and watching kids' fascinations as to how that works.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things I hope they never take out, because that's been there since the beginning.
It's an institution at this point.
It is. It is. The Hot Wheels, I don't know if the Hot Wheels one is back for the 500, but normally during the racing month, they usually bring the Hot Wheels one back, and the kids can actually be part of the pit crew and learn how to change tires and all that kind of stuff. It's really neat.
There was a time I was there. This would have been over a decade ago. It would have been at least 14 years, I think. But went to the Children's Museum with a friend of mine and her kids. And I remember that they were coming off of like a Halloween, or going into a Halloween thing. And so the local schools had been doing their, you know, what's the scariest thing you can think of for Halloween? You know, that kind of thing. And these are all generally really cute. Like, oh, the jack-o'-lantern, or I'm terrified of ghosts, and it's just like something in a sheet or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all drawings. One of the ones, and this is one of those things where, you know how you see something and then you do a double take and you go, did I just see that? And bear in mind, we're talking about kids that are like not older than fourth grade, usually closer to first, second, third.
Yeah.
And it was one of the pictures. It was in crayon, and it was like, here's the ocean, and here's these people in a boat, and then there's a shark going by, and one of the people has fallen out of the boat.
Mm.
And however old this person was, I think it was a second grader, there's a little word balloon coming out of the water from the one that's gone over the boat, and it says, oh, dear God, help me.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm thinking, teacher didn't get in front of that one, huh?
No,
oh, boy.
Evidently not.
And bear in mind, I know there are people who get very touchy about the usage of that word, and I understand it. And I do want to clarify, first of all, taking the Lord's name in vain, it's not that. It's actually something else completely different. It's a situation, as I understand it biblically, a situation where you presume to speak on behalf of God. So when you say God, the D word, and you're basically saying, I have the power of heaven and hell, and I condemn you to, that is closer to taking the Lord's name in vain than me going, oh dear God.
Yeah.
So for me, sometimes I will say that on the air, but quite often I am petitioning the Lord in prayer. Oh dear God, why do we have artificial intelligence, Chat GPT, all that stuff? All the stuff I get panicky about.
Right.
So it is somewhat a prayer.
Yeah. But, well, and in this case,
Yeah.
You know?
But when
you look at the drawing,
But I know that if I was a second grader and I came home with that to mom and it said, "Oh, dear God, help me," mom would be like, "Oh, honey.
Yeah.
You're too young for this."
Well, either that or that parent would be proud thinking, well, that's the first person they reached out to.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
hey.
Yeah. So
I don't know.
So I'm not prepared to cast aspersions, and there are several worse words you could use in that context. And often would if a shark was coming at you.
I think I'd be more worried about the kid worrying, you know, drawing the fact that a shark's going after
well,
at a second grade level.
Well, and that event would tend to make you use, as Winston Churchill calls it, dire oaths from the earlier letters in the alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it,
most
of those words actually do reside in the first
That's
handful.
That's right.
It is WILO, your home for classic hits and the party line. And we're going to have somebody from the Frankfort Police Department here in just a little bit. And we're looking forward to having that set down with them. I'm always glad to have Melissa Miller in because she makes me look much more capable at this than I really am.
I know you were working on getting it edited and everything, but do we have that interview that we were talking about yesterday, which will be really cool to go into a commercial break with? I think that'll be fantastic.
And what's going to happen is because we kind of packeted this together, it has to do with Sam Adams, who recently made a fine showing pole vaulting during Harrison Sectional?
Harrison Sectionals, and she won the pole vault. She's from Clinton Central High School from the track team, and I think 9 feet 8 inches is what she vaulted and won the sectional. So she'll be going on to the regionals.
Yeah.
And I believe,
I thought
I saw what regionals is it? Jeff or someplace like I don't remember now,
but
where it was at. But she'll be going on the regionals in that event.
And I will say that Patty Keaton Parks, who is one of our reliable resources, you'll see her bylines quite often at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com and BooneCountyDailyNews.com. She actually went out on location to get the audio for this, and she interviewed Coach Ken Jones and also Sam Adams about this feat, and it is a fascinating look into the mindset of an athlete per our discussion yesterday.
Well, and the fact that we had, you know, girls are doing pole vault.
Yeah.
And that's something that we didn't have up until recently. So it's kind of cool to see. And
so it didn't even come on board when you started playing.
Oh, no, not girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Girls weren't doing any of that kind of stuff.
Well, this is my old gym teacher for you right here. Okay. The boys unit is club each other to death with golf clubs. Girls, you get gymnastics.
We had, in the field events, we had high jump, we had long jump, we had...
But they wouldn't let you pole vault?
No pole vault. We had... I never did figure this one out. We had shot put, but we had softball throw.
What?
Yeah. You literally would haul... See how far you could throw a softball. You know, you had a line that you couldn't cross.
Right.
But you literally would see how far you could throw a softball, which was kind of cool for those of us who played the summer.
Right.
Summer league, just because, you know, we were working on trying to be able to clear it from center field to home plate and, you know, miss the cutoff man. We were trying to make that happen. So it was good practice for that.
But
that was one of the field events, and I just never got that.
I'm going to go 93 miles an hour, and I'm going to hit Tiffany right in the brain pan.
Yeah, you know, it's like, why didn't...
Because we hated Tiffany.
Yeah.
And no offense to Tiffany, whoever you are, I just picked a random name.
Yeah.
I could have said Charlena. Sorry, Charlena. You know what? Let's use a name that they're probably not going to... Flicka. Our pal Flicka. What is the least likely feminine name?
Yeah, but now we have animal rights people going, what? Flicka was a horse.
Yeah. Fine.
I know.
Fine. Mr. Ed.
We'll give it up.
What was the dolphin? Flipper?
Flipper, yeah.
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 Animal shows of the 1960s
Mr. Ed, probably the best one.
And I will say I'm not at like a PETA level or anything. I'm not. I mean, I do have an appreciation of being kind to the environment, and I am one of those people, like when I'm driving in because of the construction on 26 lately. I've been coming down 31 and going across on 28. Mm-hmm. And there have been around quarter till four in the morning. There's a certain target time that I go past a certain place. And I would say three nights out of the past week, there has been a herd of deer that is just finishing crossing. And it's not just one. It's like a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of those people that, you know, I don't suddenly accelerate. It's the I kind of fall back, let them do what they need to do in case one of them changes their mind. Oh, God, I forgot my glasses. And then he runs back across
the
road.
Exactly. I have run into that every morning this week. You know, the housing addition is just east of Mash Road.
Yeah, yeah.
Every morning this week, there's been at least, you know, four or five deer.
Mm-hmm.
And especially yesterday morning, I had one that turned, and I thought he was going to come back across the road. It was a young one. It still had its spots. It must have been an early birth because it was, I'm going to say half grown, but it still had its spots. Young one that almost came back and literally ran along the side ditch with me, and I was creeping just because I didn't know when it was going to cross back over. Never did, but every morning this week I've had deer right there at Mash Road.
Maybe it's not an early birth. Maybe it's a pituitary issue. You don't know.
I could be. Pardon telling. I don't know.
but you've described exactly why I don't drive like that long way past Wesley Manor on the county road to kind of backdoor. It would be quicker. But there's too much chance. I've run into deer before.
Michigantown Blacktop and the North Bridge there, just on the north side of Michigantown on 29, is always full of deer right through there. Mm-hmm. Anywhere there's water pass, because they like to follow water.
Yeah, and I the reason I mention this, aside from just it's fun to tell deer stories, my worst, incidentally, again sidebarring, was when I was working at WTTS. Sorry, you probably shouldn't say the colors. That 100,000-watt radio station in Indianapolis.
Uh-huh.
When I worked there and I was driving back and forth, I lived in Columbus, but the main studios were in Bloomington at the time. And I swear to you, I had a green Pontiac Grand Am, and in the space of 6 months, hit four deer.
Mm.
And it was not me being reckless. It was the situation we were talking about. Oh, God, I forgot my glasses, the deer. So you're like, you're creeping along. It's like, oh, well, he's over. And then he suddenly turns and dashes in front of you.
Right.
I really need like a cow catcher from a train just so I could sweep him out of the way. Like, they should have given me a license. I can take care of this deer population
thing.
Well,
that's like
the
one trying to jump over the Lumina and putting its butt print in my hood. Yeah, and I was sitting still. I had actually stopped, and it still turned and decided instead of going in front of the car, it was going to try and go over the car.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, literally, butt print. I watched it, set its butt right in my hood. It's kind of like the Xerox copy machine. And you could actually see the divot.
The office party that got a little interesting.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I couldn't get that one popped out all the way. We got part of it, but not all of it. But yeah, a butt print from a deer on my hood.
Yeah. And two of them I remember did, like, two of them were surprise runs. Like, you didn't see them. You're going, you know, 55 miles an hour, and then it shoots across, and you just do not have a reaction time. But the two annoying ones were the I turned around, and then the one I had gotten just enough to speed that the deer did the coast over the hood of the Grand Am.
Right.
And that was fun. Well, one of them took off a mirror.
That's the only time I've ever hit, well, and technically I didn't hit it.
Hit me.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only time run-in that I've had with an actual, you know, one actually hitting the car. But my husband, I swear, there for a long time, he was like a magnet in whatever vehicle he was in. It was always the pickup. He'd be going to check a field, and you would see the deer. You would see them coming across the field and everything, and you could stop. He had one run right into the side of the truck. He wasn't moving. He was stopped. And it ran right into the side of the truck, and then it just kind of, after it hit, it stepped back and kind of shook its head. And it's like, yeah, it had a concussion for a while.
Like Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm
exactly.
Fine. Reboot.
But, yeah.
So that's the reason I mentioned all this. It was taking a long way around to have the story about a driver in Florida that had caused a multi-car crash.
Mm.
They had stopped to allow a turtle to cross the highway.
Oh, geez.
Now, I admit my sympathies are with the guy and the turtle. I do understand this because I'm precisely like this.
Oh, yeah.
However, I would have also immediately looked in my rearview mirror. Do I have cars right on top of me? Okay, then I need to swerve or I need to not do
exactly.
this.
Exactly. Is there any way I can avoid hitting him and not be the cruel one, but still not get hit myself.
And if it came down to it and I had to, and I've done my share of running over possums and not meaning to and things like that, I'm one of those people who is racked with guilt. And then, going to the God conversation earlier, this is the point where I usually start kind of doing the paranoid watch for the next couple of days. Like, okay, what bad thing is going to befall me because I hit that turtle? You know, what's going to happen?
I know the feeling.
Is it going to be as simple as my Diet Pepsi goes flat, or is it going to be the roof caves in at the house?
Yeah, I'm the one that dodges the squirrel. If at all possible, I dodge the squirrel. Or slow down at least and, you know, honk my horn or something to get him to run back across the road. So.
Same. And I will say that in my case, the possum got revenge. You remember my old car, the Camry? Yeah, that thing tore absolute hell out from under the car, like completely destroyed. It was like a mama and the three littles, and the three littles, like, but mama decided to dash across the road, and the three littles scattered, and mama was pretty hefty, and Camry sat really low to the ground if they're 2015s, and you could just hear everything shear loose on the underbody, like all the coverings, the protective
ones. I hit one of those, and the only thing that it did to my vehicle was the fact that the teeth were so sharp. And where I hit it in the head, it actually put a hole in my tire. And that's what they pulled out of my tire.
So instant karma.
Yeah.
Instant karma is going to get you.
Yep, exactly.
Should we take our break now?
I think we need to take our break now. We'll play that interview with Sam Adams and go into our commercials, and then we'll be back.
So you're going to hear our 20-second party line ID first. Then you're going to hear the Sam Adams story. Then we're going to take a couple of minutes to take care of business. And then we'll... get Scott Shoemaker in this morning. Looking forward to having a chat with him. I've met him socially. He's walking in right now. Hoosierland TV people can see the sneak preview. He's somebody I've run into on a social level and been out and around and outside the building, but I have never had the chance to actually talk to him. So I'm really thrilled about this. WILO, your home for classic hits. You are on the party line.
When the big hand points straight up, the little hand tells the time.
Giving you the time on the studio clock.
It's 9 o'clock now.
1570 AM, 96.9 FM, and now at 102.7 FM.
WILO special correspondent Patty Keaton Parks had the chance to talk to Clinton Central coach Ken Jones and pole vaulter Sam Adams about her recent performance at the sectionals.
So coming into the sectional, I was seated fourth, and it kind of upset me because this whole entire year I've been doing really poorly. I only jumped 8 foot this whole entire year, and it was really upsetting. And so I came into the sectional really motivated to just go ahead and at least jump, 9 feet. I have our school record for 9.7, so the seeds showed that if I could jump 9.7, I would win the sectional. So I came in, and really early on, it just felt like it was natural again, because this whole entire season it felt like it wasn't natural, and I couldn't even get off the ground for about the past month. Like, I would just sprint up to the pit and try to plant, and I just couldn't. I had a mental block basically this whole entire season. I just went in and did my thing and jumped.
So you're moving on to the regionals.
Yes.
How proud are you of her, Coach Jones?
I'm very proud of her. She's worked hard ever since she's been a Bulldog. And like she said, she's been struggling the last 3 weeks, couldn't even get off the ground. And for her to get up, do 9.6, pretty amazing. I knew she always had it in her because she did it last year, for one. And it must be something about Harrison, because that's where she really excels at Harrison. And, she's got a great attitude and works hard and does everything right.
You're graduating. And what are your plans after graduation?
I'm attending Indiana University Bloomington, majoring in nursing, and I want to further my career as a nurse anesthetist.
Well, good luck to you, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Good luck in the regionals.
Thank you.
Party Line continues on WILO right after this.